In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Truly, brothers and sisters, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. God made us for a purpose, in order to be united with Him, for the created to join with the uncreated. And that is made possible by the occurrence of the Lord's baptism. We can now join with divinity because divinity has joined with us. That is really the core meaning of our Lord's baptism, that because He made us capable through water of being born again, being born of water and the Spirit, or as St. Titus says, having the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, we can be united with Him. That's our purpose. That's why He created us. He also created the universe, the angels, the animals, but none of them have that purpose. Only we have that purpose, to be united with Him, to have union and knowledge of God. That is why the Lord became incarnate. It was preordained by our Lord's mind even before the fall. Even if the fall, hypothetically, had not occurred, but of course our Lord in His knowledge knew that it would when He created man in His own image and after His likeness, but not a God. He knew that man would fall. But even if man had not fallen, the incarnation would still have occurred according to the fathers. That's a pretty outrageous idea, but it's true. Because created cannot merge with uncreated unless the one who creates changes the uncreated to be able to be by taking on creation and making it capable of being in union with the uncreated. So the incarnation was going to occur. When God created man, of course He knew all things. But He also, among those things that He knew, was that the second person of God, the Son of God, would become the Son of Man, so that man could be in union with God. Now why is this? Why is man so special? If you live very long, if you have your eyes open and your ears open, you can see that man does a lot of very unspecial things. There's a lot of terrible things that happen in the world. And even in ourselves, we find that we don't live as we should. We have bad habits, confusion, unhappiness. But we weren't born for that. What is special about man? I know this to be true, that if we understand what is so special about man, why God loves us so, and what His purpose for us is, then we would be able to sin less, to become more righteous. Really, in anything in life, anything. If you have vision and purpose, you will accomplish. It doesn't matter what it is. If you want to be the best basketball player, if you have a vision to be that player and believe that it can be done, then you will have the right work habits to accomplish it. If as a Christian you believe, not just believe, but it's fundamentally part of your being as much as breathing is, that God created you so that you could have union with Him because you are like Him, if you really know that, that will save you from many sins and will help you to become righteous. Here is the teaching of the fathers, especially St. Gregory Palamas, that is, in a dark way, hinted at in the baptism story. God is Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Three persons united together. Why that is, we don't understand. God is God. He has revealed himself as he is. We are also have a trinity of attributes. We have what's called nous, reason, and eternal spirit, the spirit of life. The nous would be the will to do what is right, free will, to have the capacity in our mind to do what is good, to have an inner drive to do what is good, and to have the capability of doing it. The nous is the highest faculty of the soul, of the mind. Reason, we know God. We can know God. Our dog, that sometimes acts much more like a Christian than we do, doesn't know God and cannot know God. They don't know God. They're not capable of it. That's not one of their attributes. They don't have reason to know God. God has revealed himself to us so that we can know him. And then we also have God's spirit within us, and it is an eternal spirit, not a temporary spirit. It invigorates and enlivens our physical flesh, and it is eternal. That's why at the end of all things, when the Lord comes again, we will be reunited with our bodies. They will be perfected bodies. They will be physical bodies, not purely spiritual, because the spirit of life that is within us enlivens us forever. We are now eternal beings. We didn't start out that way because, of course, we all had a beginning. But from the beginning of our life, there is no end. Now, the angels are much like us, but they lack that eternal spirit. They're purely spiritual beings, no body. So there is no spirit of life that enlivens their flesh because they have none. So they, if you want to say it this way, are two-part beings. They certainly have nous. They have will. We see that evident in the scriptures. We see it also evident that they can choose against God, and some did. We call those demons. Demons are fallen angels that have chosen to not follow God. They certainly have reason and the knowledge of God. It says even in the scripture that even the devil believes. Even the devil knows God. But they do not have that invigorating spirit because they have no flesh. Animals, they have a spirit. All living things have a spirit of life that God breathes into them. But it's not an internal spirit. It's a nice sentiment when people say all dogs go to heaven. But that's actually not true. Dogs, my favorite animal, live very heavenly lives very often, teach us much about God, show us about love and sacrifice, but then they die. And when they die, they are no more because they don't have an eternal spirit. Only we have will or nous and reason and an eternal life-giving spirit within us. So we have a trinity of attributes. We are like God. That is part of what being made in the image of God and after his likeness means. And also, we have the capacity to be fully perfected, to use our will, our free will, to become completely free from sin, and always be, as the scripture says, enslaved to righteousness. This is our calling, to be united to God because we are like him. He made us like us. Excuse me, he made us like him. That is why in the baptism of our Lord, the Trinity was manifested. The Trinity was manifested at the creation of man, The Lord refers to the creation of man and his intent to create man by saying, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness. He refers to himself in the plural because he is a plurality, a trinity of persons. So the Trinity was present and fully active in the creation of man. And if you read Genesis carefully, you will see references to the Father, to the Spirit, and to the Son. So God is present at the creation of man. God is also present. The Trinity manifests himself at the recreation of man, which is at our Lord's baptism. Because the Lord said, you must be born again, born from above, of water and of the Spirit. This recreation of man would, of course, make man suitable to be a vessel for the Holy Trinity. Since we are made in God's image and after his likeness, we are made to be in union with him. Baptism allows that to happen. And so that's why there is a theophany at our Lord's baptism. We generally don't refer to this feast as the baptism of Christ. We call it theophany or epiphany. Theophany basically meaning appearance of God. Epiphany means a shining forth, a radiance. And there was the shining forth and the radiance of the Trinity. Because after Christ was baptized by John, the scripture says, he went straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So there we have the appearance of the Trinity. God the Father speaking, God the Holy Spirit appearing like a dove, and of course the Son in the water. There are some deep truths in the things that are said here. The heavens were opened to him. That's not a superfluous phrase. The heavens were opened because before that time, up until that time, the heavens were closed because of man's sin and man's incapacity, his inability to be in union with God. He couldn't do it on his own. He had no ability without God infusing him with this ability. So the heavens were closed. But when God allowed himself to be baptized, that is the God-man Jesus Christ, to be baptized, the heavens opened, showing we now can have union with God through Jesus Christ. Then there is another quite subtle thing that's very important. The Father is heard to say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So the Father takes good pleasure in the Son. The Son is indeed the Son of man, having already been the Son of God from eternity. He is the Son of man, expressly so that man could have union with God. This is according to the Lord's will. This is according to his good pleasure. There are things that happen that are not according to the Lord's will. They're not according to his pleasure. Sin, death, none of those things are according to his will and pleasure. But our life in him is according to his will and pleasure. This is his purpose for us, to have union with him. From the beginning, he had that purpose for us. And it is fulfilled, or made possible to be fulfilled, in the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ. In our Lord's baptism, nature changed. That's why we sing from the Psalms, the sea beheld and fled, Jordan turned back. That really happened. The Jordan did turn back, much like the Red Sea when the Red Sea was a wall on one side and a wall on the other so that the people of Israel could pass through, which is, of course, baptism, passing through the water. The Jordan did the same thing. When it beheld divinity, the waters of the Jordan stopped flowing. That was prophesied, and we know that. Now, it's such a beautiful mystery that was not written down, but we've known it from the beginning. The Jordan turned back. Nature changed. The nature of water changed. Now, we all are familiar with water, what it can do, how it tastes, how it can be used. But it also can be imbued with a spiritual property to give the capability of eternal life to us, to make us be recreated. And that's why that occurrence occurred, that Jordan turning back, to show that water changed. Our Lord, he can do anything. He can create the universe. He can certainly make a part of the universe able to give us eternal life. And that's what he did. And so it is apropos that we, as the only physical beings that worship God, the angels are not physical, they are wholly spiritual, wholly immaterial. We, as the only ones with bodies, should be brought to union with him by means of something material. And I think also simple. Simple water. Although I guess if you're a chemist, you know water is not simple. But it is a common thing to us. I hope that you contemplate your purpose and how baptism helps fulfill that purpose. And that will help you. It'll help you not to sin. Now, we all live mundane lives much of the time. That's not our purpose, though. Don't let that fool you. Don't let the fact that you fall into habits and sins and thoughts and all that stuff, don't let that fool you. You are created for perfection. Never forget that. No matter what you've done, no matter what your habits are, God created you to know him intimately and personally, to have union with him. That union is possible because of baptism. Remember that. You should read again the Epistle of Titus. It's really a wonderful summation of the purpose of baptism and especially what happens after baptism. Because baptism is much like a birth of a child. When a child is born, we are all full of joy. But if that child is not educated, if we do not give our attention to that child, then they will not learn what is right and wrong. They won't grow up in such a way that they will have a full and meaningful life. They have the capacity when they're born, but if they're not taught, they don't fulfill that capacity. Baptism is the same way. Baptism is a rebirth, and then we must fulfill the capacity that we are given in that rebirth. May God bless you and help you to fulfill this. May God help you to understand fully in every aspect of your life that you are fearfully and wonderfully made to be a companion with the Holy Trinity and to have the Holy Trinity abide in you. Never forget that. Baptism makes it possible. May God bless you and help you in all things.